Don't you wish you could do that? Can I ask y'all just 1 second just to stand up? And we have people still trying to find seats. As you say hello to someone, just squeeze towards the middle of your section. It'll be appreciated. Good morning. Let's see your Bibles this morning. Word. Let's see your pens. Your lesson plan. Very good. Let's turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Everyone say, Luke, Luke. I am your father. You can say the same thing over every week and it's still funny, right? Lord, we just thank you so much for your word and we pray you challenge us. I pray you help people find Luke. Third book of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke. And we just pray that you would speak to us this morning. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Amen. When my wife and I go on vacation, we like to go to a tropical, warm place where there's nice, clear water, preferably an island. And when the minute our vacation starts, which is the last second work happens here in my house. And it doesn't start when I get there. It starts right at home, whenever the time clock stops for work, my mind shifts and I start to live by a different set of rules. Because, you know, every day my life is like, you know, just go. A lot of times more than I want it to be. But then when I go on vacation, I turn it completely off and I say, okay, here are the rules. There is no schedule. There is nothing we have to do. Matter of fact, we spend a lot of our time going, what do you want to do? No, what do you want to do? No, what do you want to do? Because there's no rules. Matter of fact, I was at a place I go. A lot of times my kid asks us where we're going to go, or people ask us where we're going to go, and we say, we can't tell you, or we have to kill you. Because we don't want to talk to anybody. And so I was driving around. We got this little Jeep and got the little top off, you know, just kind of like going the whole other way as far as relaxing. And I saw a friend of mine who's a pastor. And I did not want to talk, you know, and it might have been rude or whatever, but I waved and he waved and I just kept driving, you know what I'm saying? Because I was like, I love you, brother, but, you know, I'm sure you're going to forgive me. You have to forgive me. You're a pastor. So, you know, just kind of, but so we have all these different rules. And he ended up tracking me down at a gas station later that day and yelling at me and, you know, not yelling at me, but he's like, oh, you didn't stop. I was like, ah, brother, you know, I'm on vacation. He says, I understand. He left. So, but we have these different rules. When you get saved, you are now a citizen of a different place. You're not a citizen of the world anymore. You're a citizen in heaven. And there are different rules you're supposed to live by. You're not supposed to live by the rules of the world. Worrying about what other people think. That's not a rule that you live by in heaven. You can't worry about what people think. You gotta worry about what God thinks. And so today we're going to start a series called Treasure Island. Because one of the islands behind me is heaven, and one of the islands behind me is the world, and both those islands have completely different rules you're supposed to live by. And we're going to focus over the next 4 weeks the rules, not only as they pertain to your life in general, but the rules as they pertain to your treasure, your money. Now, some of y'all think, man, I know they're going to try to get my money. Let me preface this by saying, we don't want to get your money. Well, let me say it. We do want to get your money. But we want you to give your money because God has told you. And so we want to talk about the principles on this island as it pertains to your money. The Bible talks about money more than prayer. The Bible talks about money more than heaven. The Bible talks about money more than forgiveness. Why? Because it's so precious to us. And it's such a deception. Now, let me back up. The mission of the Rock Church is to save, equip, and send soul winners for Jesus Christ. Everyone say save.
Save.
Say equip.
Equip.
Say send. I'm going to do it 3 times. Watch my hand motion. Say, save.
Save.
Equip.
Send. Save. Equip.
Very good. That is why we exist. That is why the Church of Jesus Christ worldwide exists, to do evangelism, to disciple people, and send them into missionaries. Now, when I say missionary, it doesn't mean you have to go to Africa or Tijuana. You are missionary to your neighbors on your street. Okay, so you get saved, you get equipped, you get sent, you get built up, discipled, however you want to call it. That's what every church is supposed to be doing. Now, the only way we can do that is if you share your faith. I'm not the only saver here. If you disciple and be discipled, if you get in ministry, if you pray, and if you give financially. So every time you come here, every week, everything I'm talking about has something to do with building up, save, equip, and send. Every day, everything we talk about has to do with that. We're not here to have a Bible college for you to just get Bible knowledge just so you can have it in your head. That is not church. That's Bible college. This is church. We are here for a mission to convert and bring the gospel to a dark and lost world. That is our purpose. So when you have that opportunity, you take that opportunity however God has called you and gifted you to fulfill that opportunity. So we talk about prayer, we talk about missions, we talk about ministry, we talk about getting the ministry fair. These next 3 weeks and 4 weeks, we're going to talk about money, one of the most precious things in our life. Now, in the story we're going to look at, a guy comes to Jesus Christ and he says, listen, I want you to make sure my brother divides our inheritance between us evenly. And Jesus says, brother, I don't want to be a part of your money business. I'm not an arbitrator. And he tells him this parable. He says, there was a guy who was very wealthy, and he had all these crops, and he had so much that he had to tear down his barns and build bigger barns. And the guy says, I'm going to build my barn so big that I'm going to sit back, eat, drink, and be merry, and I'm going to just have so much stuff that I don't have to work. And look at chapter 12, verse 20, what Jesus says to him. Jesus says, chapter 12, verse 20, God said to him, you fool. This night your soul is required of you. The things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. And then Jesus is going to go on and talk more about riches. Now, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is three chapters in three chapters of the Bible, where Jesus has this long sermon and he talks about kingdom principles or the rules of Treasure Island. And he tells them how they should view lust, how they should view murder, how they should view prayer, how they should view fasting, and also how they should view riches and worrying about riches. So we're going to learn about that. Why? It is important for you to know what God expects of you and your money. And it's important for you to make a decision about between what you're going to do with God's information, not the rock's information, not the rock's need, but you obeying God as it pertains to your money. This is between you and God. And then you should do what God wants you to do and be happy about it. So we're going to compare island number one and island number two. Island number one has different rules than island number two. Let's read in chapter 12, verse 22. It says, he said to his disciples, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious or worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, that they neither sow nor reap. They neither have storehouses nor barn, yet God feeds them. How much more value are you than the birds? Of which of you, by being anxious or worrying, can add one single hour to his life? If you then are not able to do such a small thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, the richest man in all the world, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Number one in your notes. On island number one, you worry as you strive to provide. You worry as you strive to provide. In one of the islands, you are constantly consumed with how do I get more? How can I be richer? How can I get better bling? How can I get better, more new clothes? How can I get a better car? How can I get a bigger house? And you strive and you are preoccupied. And then once you get it, you are preoccupied with how do I keep it? How do I protect it? You strive. That's island number one. And a lot of y'all live like that. Paycheck to paycheck. You are in more debt than you need to be. You don't need stuff. You want stuff because you're in a race against someone else. And it may be your own mind, but that's island number one. And everybody around you is in the race. Going, 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 going. More, 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 more. And then you die tired. And then someone tells you, somebody has still more than you. And you die. And God says, why were you wasting your time? You can't take any of that with you. Look at number two in your notes. Island number two, you are blessed by a God who provides. You are blessed by a God who provides. Island number one, you could strive and you could scratch your head, you could have stomach aches and you can worry, or you could say, God, thank you. Does it mean you don't work? Absolutely not. One of the mistakes Christians make is they think, well, I'll just sit around and be lazy and praise God. No. Even Adam in the Garden of Eden, before there was sin, had to work. God gave him the garden and said, take care of it. I'm not saying that at all, but guess what? You don't have to kill yourself just to get another dollar. That you are blessed. And God's going to give you time to work. He's going to give you time to rest. When I go on vacation, I have to tell myself, because I love to work, and I'm a workaholic, and I'm not saying that's right. And I have to say, Lord, turn my brain off. And there's places my wife and I go that when we get there, we hear the ocean and the breeze. And I just go, praise the Lord. And you know what God says? Turn it off. Turn it off. Relax. Our last vacation, we were 8 days in an undisclosed location. 5 hours a day, we just laid on the beach, and I did this. I was like mentally ill for a little while. And people walk by, how you doing? I was like, hi. You got to turn it off. God said, be blessed. Look at verse 32. Verse 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you of the kingdom. God wants to bless you. He does. He doesn't want you to have to strive. He wants you to receive. He wants you to work as hard as he wants you to work. He wants you to work when he wants you to work. And he wants you to rest when he wants you to rest. A friend of mine just had a baby. He's 48 years old. He just had his first child. We've known each other since he was 16 years old. And he came to, actually works here, comes from out of town a couple days a week. And he's like, I'm so happy you can say anything you want to me. You can never make me sad. Call me stupid. I said, you're stupid. He says, thank you very much. And he's just like so happy. He just had a baby. And he says, the first 3 nights he sat up 24 hours a day. He never went to sleep, and he sat there and watched her as she slept all night long, waiting for her to wake up so he can hold her. And I said, I didn't want to burst his bubble, and I didn't, but I thought to myself, that is going to change. Amen? I mean, it's not a bad thing. It's just reality. It's just reality. You can't stay up 24 hours a day. That's really the reason why, because you got to get some sleep. But in reality, you can't do that. But God still does that with you. 24 hours a day, he's like, I just want to bless you. I love you. Even when you mess up, I love you. Even when you feel like you really are a bad person, I love you. He wants to bless you. You don't got to kill yourself to be blessed or be provided for. Number two in your notes. Number two. On island number one, you think you own it all. On island number one, you think that what you have is yours. Your house, your apartment, your condo, your clothes, the shoes on your feet, the funky socks on your feet, your underwear, your hair, your teeth, none of it is yours. Your children are not yours. Now, when you first had them, you held on to them. But as they got older, you were saying, okay, God, they're yours. You know what I'm saying, right? I love my kids, but they belong to God. You don't belong to you. You can't even control your body. Don't blink until the end of the sermon. You can't. Don't breathe. Don't go to the bathroom until next Sunday. You can't. You are not yours. Now, maybe some of you are thinking, I disagree. Okay, you have the freedom to disagree. So here's what I would encourage you, because God needs to be corrected. When you're driving home today, say, God, this is my car. And when I want you to use it, I'll let you know. Don't ask me again. When you get home, say, God, this is my house. This is my money, my clothes, my food. And if I want some preacher telling me it belongs, I'll come to you. Don't have some preacher telling me this belongs to you. It's mine and you can't take it. So if you believe it's yours, go home and tell God that, because you and God need to be on the same page. Because he thinks it's his. And he thinks he gave it to you, and he thinks that he has a right to tell you how to use it. And he thinks that he wants to bless you with more if you bless him with honoring him with it. That's what he thinks. So if you don't believe that, you need to tell God that, just so you're on the same page. But you need to be one or the other. Either you own it all, or he owns it. And if he owns it, if you own it, then he can't take it. Tell him that, because he needs to know that. Make sure you tell everybody around you to back up. Something might happen. On island number two, you acknowledge that God is the owner. You acknowledge and honor God as the owner. You acknowledge and honor God as the owner. Look what it says in verse 20. It says, God said to him, "Fool, this night your soul is required, and the things you have prepared, the things you have saved, whose will they be? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." Island number one, it's all yours. You'll die and it'll go someplace else. And by the way, here's what's really sad. Some of you will spend all your life saving, scrimping, sacrificing to save, to give to your kids, and you'll die and they'll fight over it and never talk again. Some. Now, am I saying retirement and planning for the future is not prudent, wise? Absolutely not. Saving and planning for the future is absolutely a wise thing to do, but you don't have to strive for it. Let God direct it. Because saving and planning for the future is what salvation is all about. You are planning for your future. Same thing. You want to be wise about it. You don't want to be struggling and putting a disproportionate amount of care and concern into something that you can't spend anyway. You want to ask God, "God, you show me." Because some of your kids, the worst thing you can do is give them a whole bunch of stuff. They need to learn on their own. For some. But it all goes down to you and God. And you being open to God's direction, you being open to God's wisdom, you being open to God's leading. That's what this is all about. Does this church have a financial need? Absolutely. And by the way, our church's financial need can be met if everybody every week, instead of buying two Frappuccino Latte Rancho Cucamongas, listen, this is really true. If everybody just didn't do that two times a week, I don't know how much that is, but you know, it's probably about 10 bucks or whatever it is, and you gave that money here, our financial need would be met. But we don't want to tell you that's what we want you to do. Because really, I don't want you to do that. But that's how simple it is. But what I want you to do is say, "God, what do you want me to do?" Because some of you are going to give one latte more because that's all you can give, and some of you are going to give 1,000 lattes worth more because you can do that. It's what God tells you to do. And some of you are going to claim God didn't say anything to you, that he wants you keeping it all to yourself. Like I said, claim that's what God said. We'll talk about that in the coming weeks, but my point is this. It's really about, what is God telling you? What is God telling you? Have you heard God? Do you use your time according to God's plan? Do you use your money according to God's plan? Do you treat your wife, your husband according to God's plan? If not, get in line with God and watch your life change. That's what we're here for. Temporal riches fade away. The riches of the world, they fade away. You know, your house will get old. Your car will rust. Your clothes, how many of you got something that you can touch for Christmas? I know some of you are thinking, is that a trick question? It's not a trick question. How many of you got something you can physically touch and feel? Raise your hand really high. Okay, everybody. Let me tell you, everything you got that you can touch, unless it was gold or this precious stone, is going to fade. And 99.99% of everything you got you can touch, you will not be using a year or two from now. It's going to be gone 5 years from now. Matter of fact, I wonder how many of you even know what you got for Christmas. What I mean by that, you know, if someone came to you and says, what did I give you, would you remember? We our focus is so much on that. God is saying that stuff is going to fade away. Look what it says in verse 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you of the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Not all of it, because look what it says next. Provide for yourselves money bags that don't grow old, with a treasure in heaven that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there is your heart. What God is saying is, look, invest in something that is not going to ever fade. A lot of y'all are very wise investors, and you pick your investment carefully because you pick your investment based on what's going to give you the most return. That's all he's saying. You can invest in Coca-Cola, but one day Coca-Cola is going to be gone. I'm not saying don't invest in it, but there's something better than that, the kingdom of heaven. Billy Graham was in San Diego walking around with Seaport Village several years ago. I heard this story. I was not with him. And it blessed my heart because it was probably my dream come true. What happened to him is that he was walking in Seaport Village kind of in a big coat, hat, kind of incognito, just kind of walking around. And people were walking up to him, and all they were saying was, how you doing, Mr. Graham? My name is so-and-so. I got saved in 1968 in New York Crusade and walked away. How you doing, Mr. Graham? My name is so-and-so. I got saved in Toronto in 1973 and walked away. How you doing, Mr. Graham? I got saved in Minneapolis, blah, blah, blah. Thank you very much. Walked away. How you doing, Mr. Graham? I got saved in China. I got saved in Korea. I got saved in Japan at your crusade. Thank you very much, and walked away. Can you imagine? That is what heaven is going to be like for you. Hey, you might not realize it, but when you went to the Rock on January 6th and you prayed for my uncle in the parking lot, it changed his life, and consequently, he got married, and I was born, and he told me about Jesus. You're going to hear that. You have no idea, but, you know, you were at a church event, a church, and you put $5 in the thing, and I know it was your last $5, but that money sent me a book that I read, and I got saved, and I became a pastor. You're going to hear that. That God has given you an opportunity to invest back in his kingdom. And by the way, tithing and offering is not giving God money. It's returning to him what he gave to you. And you're saying, God, I'm trusting you back. And God is going to do something supernaturally beyond what you could ever ask or imagine. That's why we have to do it by faith. And those riches never fade. They're forever. That's what he's saying here. Point number three, island number two. The last point. Eternal riches. Eternally secure riches build God's kingdom. Eternally secure riches build God's kingdom. God is saying, how I want you to think is that when you invest in the kingdom, it's eternal. When you invest by faith, it's God's kingdom. And that you are laying up for yourselves riches somewhere. When you get there, you're going to go, that's mine? That is compound interest on steroids. Now, in order for you to do that, you have to have a spiritual mind and spiritual heart. We are going to go on a fast starting tomorrow. Let me explain this to you. We've been talking about this for the last 3 weeks. A fast, matter of fact, if you look in your notes, a fast is when you voluntarily abstain from eating or drinking for an extended period of time. Now, we are going to go on a fast for a 3-week period. Now, you can fast anything you want. You can fast coffee, you can fast meat, you can fast fast food, you can fast ice cream, or you can be a real man and fast everything. But a fast, if you look at your notes, a fast is to voluntarily abstain from eating and drinking for an extended period of time, and fasting is designed to separate you from your perceived life support. Your perceived life support, that you may focus exclusively on the Lord, your actual life support. You want to be separated from your perceived life support and be dependent on your actual life support. Some of you think you have to eat all day long to live. You really believe that? If I don't eat, as soon as my stomach goes, I gotta eat, I'm gonna die. You think like 10 minutes later you're gonna fall over and die. Trust me, you got 401k food all over your body. I'm not, I'm telling you for reals. That you can go a whole lot longer than you think without eating. And you have a perception that the things you make for food is even healthy for you. You think potato chips are healthy because they're potatoes. You think orange soda is healthy because it has oranges in it. Do you really believe that? It's not true. Matter of fact, when you go to a grocery store, everything in the aisles, 99% of the stuff in the aisles is no good for you. It's all man-made. What's good is what's on the outside. It's all God-made. Just think about it. Look at your notes. A couple things you got to do. One, prepare your heart. Got to prepare our heart. You got to say, Lord, I want my heart to be right. I want my attitude to be right. I want my motive to be right. I want to fast because I want to hear your voice. I want to see your face. I want to get a clear vision and a clear mission. Now, what we're going to do is it's a three-week process. The first week is preparing our body. So we're going to eat fruits and vegetables for a week. All this is on the Rock website. It talks about fasting. There's a little stuff in your bulletin as well. There's books in the bookstore on fasting. You should check with your physician. If you're pregnant, you shouldn't fast. If you have diabetes, you probably not, but you can check with your physician. But this is not like out there, woo. It's all in the Bible. It's very legitimate. Matter of fact, if for all of you who have pets, when your pets get sick, what do? They lay around and don't eat. And you're like, they need to eat. They need to eat. And God's like, no, they're fasting. That's what they're doing. Why? Because when you fast, your body gets rid of toxins. That's why it's very important to drink a lot of water and even exercise as much as you can so your body can get rid of toxins. It's cleaned itself out. When animals get sick, they fast because that's the way the body of getting rid of the illness. Okay? So we're going to spend a week preparing our body by fruits and vegetables, a lot of water, a lot of juice. Not the juice with the sugar in it. The best juice is fresh squeezed or juice, or get a juicer. And do that for a week. Then we're going to go a week just juices and water, depending on what you want to do. That's the true boom. And then a week of fruits and vegetables to come back onto our normal eating schedule, and hopefully your normal eating schedule won't be your normal eating schedule. So it's a week of preparation, a week of actually complete abstaining from whatever it is, and then a week of coming off gradually. Now, if you just want to not drink coffee for 3 weeks, go for it. That's fine. But if you want to go for the gusto, this is the schedule we have. Do whatever your heart's content. Fast a half hour of Sports Center. Give example. When the Chargers win, right? Let's say they win today. We're all confident they're going to win, right? So if they win and you watch the news at 6 o'clock, the news is going to say the Chargers won. If you watch the news at 7 o'clock, the news is going to say they won. And the news is going to say the same thing at 8 o'clock. It's going to say the same thing at 9 o'clock. And they're going to win every time. So you could say, you know what? I don't need to watch it. I'm going to pray. Maybe you don't want to watch Desperate Housewives. You're a housewife desperate for God. So you're not going to watch Desperate Housewives. You would take that time to pray. So you want to prepare your heart. You want to prepare your schedule, number two. Prepare your schedule. You can read those verses at home. Prepare your schedule. And then you want to prepare your body. And that's the whole week of eating fruits and vegetables, cleaning out, however you know how to clean out and detox your body. You want to do that so when you don't eat, you don't have that stuff in you. Let me give you a golden seal promise from the Word of God. If you fast, it will be the most incredible spiritual thing you ever did. If you do it. I'm not saying if you just don't eat a Twinkie, you might not experience a big deal. But the more you give up, the more you will experience. I promise you, if you don't, then you can start eating again. That was a joke. Of course you're going to start eating again. But I promise you, your life will never be the same. Now, here's what we're going to do. When you fast, it's very important to have a place and a time that you're going to spend with God in replacement of what you were doing before. And so in my notes, in your notes you have, we have a prayer acronym called OSIPA. Everyone say OSIPA. Say OSIPA. Say A.
A.
Say W.
W.
C. C. I. P. A. Every week during this series, we're going to go through this because I want to teach you how to pray, and hopefully you could do this on your own because you need to pray effectively during this fast because you want to hear from God. When you pray, it's very important that you are clear on what you are praying and that you are communicating clearly, not for God's sake, for your sake. God can follow you any way you talk, but you might not be able to follow. And so it's very important, very helpful, I should say, to pray in one topic at a time. So the first topic is A, admire God. You want to spend 5, 10, 2 minutes thanking God for whatever. If you can't thank God for 2 or 5, 10 minutes, you really don't know what he's done for you. W, you spend 5 or 10, 2 or whatever minutes, same length of time, just waiting on God. Be still and know he's God. Just listening. C, confessing sin. Spend 2, 5, 10 minutes confessing sin. Certainly we have 10 minutes of sin to confess. Amen? Amen. Then I, after you spend a few minutes admiring God, after you spend a few minutes waiting, a few minutes confessing sin, then I, as intercede, you want to pray for other people. So spend a few minutes praying for other people, exclusively. Not praying and asking God for something, or praying and confessing, just praying for somebody else, individuals, corporately, the church, whatever. And then after you've done all that, P, pray for yourself. Probably what's going to happen when you get to the P, you're going to say to God, I'm good. What do we do most time? Dear God, I need this. First thing off. And God's like, hello? We're going to do it at the end. And then after you do all that, you thank God again and say, you praise him for 2 or 5 minutes, and that's the A. Admire God, wait, confess, intercede, petition, and admire God. You can do 5 minutes at a time. If you did 5 minutes each, that's 30 minutes of very focused, effective prayer. And if you got verses with it, and you read those verses, and you pray those verses, woo. You do that every day, God's going to change your life. You're at a stoplight, sit there and confess sin. Just confess sin. Dear God, I'm so sorry. I'm upset right now that their light is red. I'm so sorry for the hateful thoughts of the person in front of me. I wish they were dead and move the car out of the way. Please forgive me. Okay, so just confess sin. Dear God, I'm sorry for my attitude about my husband. Sorry for my attitude about my wife. I'm sorry about my attitude, blah, blah, blah. I'm sorry I judge this person. I'm sorry I'm gossip. Boom, boom, boom. But guess what happens? Dear God, you say in your word that if I confess my sin, you're faithful and just to forgive me. So here's what we're going to do right now. Everyone put your Bible away, put your pens, and we're going to pray. Close your eyes and just listen. Everyone take a deep breath in. Blow it out. Take a deep breath in. Relax. Drop your head. Let it hang. However you want to get comfortable. Close your eyes. Bow your head. Bow your eyes. Close your head. We're going to pray OSIPA, and all you're going to do, we're going to pray 1 minute a letter and just not out loud to yourself. Try to stay focused. And just pray one letter at a time. First letter, A. For the next minute, I just want you to thank God for anything. As many things you could think of, as whatever you want to say, 1 minute, just thank him. For the next minute, you want to wait. The Bible says, be still and know that I am God. And one of the ways to clear your mind is just to say his name over and over, Jesus, Jesus. And if he speaks to you, write it down on your lesson plan. Write down whatever you hear. Now for the next minute, just confess sin. Just tell God how sorry you are for one sin or as many as you can think of. You have 60 seconds. For the next minute, just pray for other people, whether it be one person or different individuals or the church as a whole. Now you can pray for yourself and ask whatever you want. Now spend a minute thanking God. Just thank Him. Lord, thank you so much. Thank you so much that we can come to you. We can cast our cares on you, our burdens. Thank you that your peace that surpasses all understanding will protect us from worrying, from allowing stress to destroy us, protect us from being discouraged and depressed. Thank you that you want to bless us, that the plans you have for us are more than we can ask or imagine, that your plans are not to harm us, but to give us a future and a hope. Thank you, we can call to you and you will tell us great and mighty things we don't know. And Lord, I pray over the next month that we would learn to pray, we would learn to fast, we would learn to seek your face, we would learn to be obedient. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Was that good? Very simple. Amen. Let me be very honest with you. Does the church have a financial need? Absolutely. Absolutely. We were left with more debt than we wanted to because of the people, the pledges that didn't come in. But the way we want to fix that is by calling on God. And we want you to call on God. We have all the money in this church to pay everything off and do ministry beyond our wildest dreams. The only problem is all the money is at your house. So we want to trick it out of you. We want to tell you straight up that if we all work together, it can be done. But we have to hear from God. So we all have to be convinced that God is the giver of all good gifts, and that what you've worked hard for, God has given you the ability to work, and he's given it to you. And he has more where that comes from. And he's going to challenge you to trust him to replace what you give. That's how it works. It is really how it works. And for all of you who have tithed and given faithfully over many years, you know that God is faithful. Amen? He is faithful, but many of us don't know that. And so I hope that this series enlightens you, because this is usually the last part of people's lives that get saved. You know, when we get saved in stages. I mean, this is metaphorically speaking. We get saved Sunday. Okay, I'll go to church. Then we get saved our language, and not necessarily in this order, but there are different parts of our lives that get saved differently or get turned over to God. Money is usually the last because we love it so much, but it needs to be liberated, and you need to let God bless you and learn to walk by faith. And we went into this venture to buy this building. It was just like you buying a house that you can't afford. It was way above our head, but God says, I can afford it, so trust me. And how he's going to do that is through his people. And so our prayer is that you would hear God and you would say, man, now I see what God wants me to do. That you don't do what I want you to do. You do what God wants you to do. And so we want to go about fixing our financial need. Like I said, it amounts to like, you know, $10 or $15 a person a week. But you know what? God is so much bigger than that. We don't want you to focus on that. We want you to focus on what does God want you to do. Because everybody has a different capacity. Some of you, it may be $1. Some of you, may be $3 million. And guess what? You're both the same. If that's what God told you to do, just be obedient. It's as simple as that. Simple as that. Amen? Let me pray for you, and then y'all got to leave.